We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. We have Money Long. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hey, Grammy Award winning Money Long.
Yes. Say that.
Welcome. How you feeling?
I'm really good. I'm super just grateful. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the first time I came, I was still trying to figure it out. It was early. Mm-hmm. And
that money got longer.
Uh-huh. Amen. I received that. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to just like watch how God weaves the fabric. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, I'm grateful. I'm very happy.
So your song Made For You, that's like one of the biggest tracks right now. Did you think that you would ever top Hours and Hours?
No.
No?
Really?
Mm-mm.
No, I mean, you know, at that moment, that was the biggest thing that had ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And so, and it was just a moment culturally. I mean, I want to be careful how I talk about myself because, you know, I don't want to sound delulu. But at the time, it was just like, yo, this girl just came out of nowhere. During the fourth quarter, which is like a no-no, it's like Christmas music.
Yeah.
You just don't do that. I was independent, 34 at the time, and black, a woman, R&B music.
Given.
It's all things that people are just like, no, 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 we don't want it. And then the way that people just received the song, men, women, children, the church, they were singing in the church house. It was just like everywhere. And so, no, of course you don't think that you're going to do that again. You know, same effect, even bigger.
How was it the church version of Hours and Hours?
I could praise you for hours.
Sit and talk
with you for hours.
Got you.
Amazing.
You
know,
what if God tell him I ain't got time? Y'all go.
What's
wrong with you, man? I give you a couple minutes.
I got a lot of children.
Yo, what's wrong with you, man?
Is there a secret to all of these hits you be writing up?
God.
There you go. There
I wouldn't even say it's not a secret. It's there just like, I was scrolling through my posts the other day and reading my captions, and I'm like, wow, like, if you didn't know me, you would really be like, oh, this girl is tapped in. And I am, but I'm not trying to put that on. That's just really what's in me.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to break into the game for artists out there that's trying to get in and it's taking a long time? How long did it take for you to get to where you was like, wow, I really have a shot?
I mean, you know, to use your words, in my opinion, I'm still breaking.
You got a Grammy, Money Long.
I mean, lots of people have Grammys that you never heard of,
yeah,
you know?
Facts. Yeah.
So, like, for where I want to go, I still have a little bit of a piece of mountain to climb. But I've been doing this. I've been wanting to do this since I was 14 or 15 years old,
mm-hmm.
half my life. And then I started professionally when I was about 19.
Mm-hmm.
I was uploading videos on YouTube before yep. that was like normal, when I was like 16, doing it from my bedroom and stuff like that. Once I got into the business and the game, it took me until about 21, 23 to really start seeing some money. And then from there, 23 to about 28, 29, I'm just in the studio cooking, like writing for all these people. And then it took me another 3 or 4 years to just be like, okay, I've been doing this for 10 years now. It ain't really, I feel like I'm at the ceiling. What's next for me? And so these last 3 years, I've been just focusing on myself. So all in all, you know, I'm not really too great with math, but I want to say about 15, 17 years it took me to get to this place.
Did you ever want to quit, or the fact that you were writing for
so many? What you mean?
Really?
I wanted to quit so many times, and I would be in my closet screaming into a pillow, crying like, why is this so painful?
You know? Why you were even writing for other people?
Or? Yeah.
Really? Because you were making money, you were getting your publishing.
The misconception with that is it's a 2-year pipeline. So imagine going to work and you don't get a check for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And your coworkers is nasty and they don't want to feed you.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out, you know, like, the actual reality of it is not glamorous at all. You know, I don't know if you guys saw a fellow songwriter, Tiffany Fresh. She was kind of talking about it online, just about writers, artists who take publishing. And like, there's all these things that happen to you as a writer that, you know, that's what is paying your dues.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually, you know, you either fatigue out and you be like, I can't do this, ain't for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just keep going and you keep taking it on the chin. Like, I got kicked so many times and I just kept getting back up. Like, it's a new day. You know, mm-hmm. people used to be like, she a little crazy. She on something. Why does she keep coming back? Why is she so nice?
Mm.
And it was really just because I would hear this little voice in the back of my mind, like, but if you quit, tomorrow could be today.
Mm-hmm.
And next week it could be. I don't know. I just felt this tugging, just this little tiny tug in my stomach, like, girl,
and then
keep
if
going.
You quit, then all of it would have been for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you would be looking back on a different story today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wouldn't be made for you and hours for hours. I love the visual, by the way. You had my best friend, Jolanda Lewis, in there.
Oh,
my
the
pregnant girl you had
oh,
in
yeah.
there. Yeah. I love that video. She had sent me the video.
She was very sweet.
She was very sweet. But I love that you was outside the window. I was like, you was looking stalkerish and you was looking like a Leah. I said, what's going on? But I love the whole concept. So did you do... You did your own treatment for that? Or did you
the original treatment was very creepy. It was very much creepy. and everybody was like, yeah, we love that you're so creative, but we can't do that. Because I had just seen, like, this headline about this chop shop in Arizona where they was taking bodies and they was cutting them up and, like, mm-hmm. putting the arm from one body in the head from selling body parts and stuff. You know, I don't know if we could talk about that on there, but that's really, that's real stuff that be out here. People
yeah,
crazy.
Right. People be getting found with no organs inside of
them. Yeah. So it was that. And I was like, ooh, we could do like some Sweeney Todd, like, you know.
Made for you?
Yeah. Like I wanted it to be like around Halloween, like
really
Tim Burton kind of style.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Body parts and all type of
the original idea was like my man, you know, he had a little accident. He gone. He not with us no more. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm about to go dig him up. and then I'm about to go take some other body parts, and I'm going to make me a Frankenstein. And then we're going to dance together, and then at the end, he going to squeeze me so hard, he don't know his own strength, and he going to kill me. You know, Jesus. And then, but it was
like
Halloween.
Episode of American Horror Story. I like it a little bit.
Call me. Okay. Yeah, let's write a TV show.
Who on your team told you not to do that?
Everybody. They were like, you're great trying job. To get sponsors. You know, they don't really want to endorse this kind of thing. You can't be committing any crimes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, grave digging is a crime.
Yeah.
And so then I reached out to my homeboy.
Yeah, grave digging is a crime.
If you didn't know, you know. I reached out to the homie Trinidad James. And I was like, I really want to work with you on something. You know, he was doing a lot of stuff with Sexy Red, your best friend.
Yeah.
Sexy Red. And who else? Sukihana, Callie, you know, a lot of the rap girls. And I was like, well, what's up? You trying to, you know, can you flip this treatment? And so him and his teammate, Des Gray, turned it into this STEM Black Women in Tech, you know, future of romance. Mm-hmm. Will we be dating robots in the future? The way that the dating pool is set up right now, maybe you might have to make you a man, you know? And so that's the concept behind, the video. And I think people were like a little creeped out. They're like, well, did she kill him and like make him into a robot? I'm like, that's your interpretation. Up to you to figure out.
I loved it. I loved what it ended up being. I loved it.
Thank you.
I've been hearing so much about Trinidad James and what he's been doing creatively. Can you, can you speak to that?
He's amazing. First of all, like he's a stylist. Mm-hmm. He has the amazing nails. He does shoes.
He does nails?
No. He gets his nails like bedazzled. Like his nails be killing a lot of women. Mm-hmm. And he does like the hair. He got like crazy hairstyles that he be doing.
Oh yeah, the hair is always sleek.
He's just a full on creative. He's also producing and writing and still doing his own music. And what I love about working with him is that he protects you as an artist, right? So like if I have a vision and I want to come in and I want to do something, he knows how to talk to the people on the other side. Like, listen, this is her vision. I can help you. I can try to help coach her to get it where you are comfortable. But at the end of the day, it's her music and it's her, you know? So shout out to you, Dad. I appreciate you for that.
Aww.
You call him Dad?
Does he call himself Dad? Trinidad.
Oh, Trinidad. I was like, okay.
Not like that.
I want to ask, you know what, you saying you almost quit.
Yeah.
So having a cousin in the industry, did that make it better or worse? Was it with like, your cousin's doing this, or was it one of those things? Because your cousin's Flo Rida, right?
Flo Rida, yeah. Mm-hmm. We found out that we were related, yes. We just got, you know, cool. It was no bad blood, but it's just like we just connected on that level where it's like, yo, what up, cut? Like, appreciate you. You know, what you got going on? I think for me, if I'm, you know, want to have a touchstone or somebody that I might reference, that would have been Cardi B for me. Mm-hmm. You know, because I watched her come up. I remember when the first song I heard of hers was the Lick, Looking Like I Caught a Lick. Mm-hmm. And I used to watch Love and Hip Hop. Thought she was hilarious. I used to also watch her TikToks and Instagram videos. Yeah, like, you know what I hate? You know, and I just thought she was so funny. And then as soon as that song came out and I started seeing the elevation, I was like, she about to go. And I remember my husband at the time was like, you know, it's a whole lot of people who want to rap. I'm like, no. She got something different, I'm telling you. And then Bodak Yellow came out. And so to see that, like, and to watch somebody's journey like that, it let me know that it was possible to go from 0 to 60, you know?
Yeah.
But ain't nobody really, wasn't nobody coaching me. They ain't give me no advice, nothing. Mm-hmm. I just had to, you know, mess up.
What age did you get married? You said your husband. What age did you get married? You got
26.
Married young? So you got married young.
Yeah.
Was that good?
Is that young? 26?
No, not really. Yeah. It's younger.
Younger. Yeah.
So did that help you out, keeping you grounded and keeping...
I think it definitely helped with my confidence. It helped me being able to say no. It helped me like to not care about what other people wanted. It helped me to, you know, just figure out my voice and how to stand up for myself because, you know, I think people, you are attracted to what you need in a person. Like, he needed to learn to be softer and I needed to learn to like, you know, man up, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Speak your mind, have a backbone.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, he definitely do not care about what nobody thinks.
You know, it's interesting you brought up Cardi, because Cardi is a person who she gave us personality first. That's when we fell in love with Cardi. You give us music first, actual talent. So in this era, what do you think is harder to get people to connect with?
It's you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. Like, you always going to have somebody being like, you need to be more relatable. You know, people want to hear you talk. And I say all the time, I'm like, well, you know, the thing that I want you to know about me is I don't want you to know nothing.
That's real.
Because... you, I don't want you in my business. Like, yeah. I got to have something for me. And Eddie LaVert, I heard him say a quote about, like, you know, Gerald LaVert's father, the OJs, if you don't know. Mm-hmm. He was like, you got to cut it off somewhere. You can't give the whole world every piece of you because you won't have nothing left. Mm. And also, recently, you know, speaking to this Zen master, Master Z, and he was telling me, like, these people, don't get it twisted, they do not like you.
That's right.
They mm-hmm. like your music. That's mm-hmm. all you are required to deliver them. And that was so liberating for me because, you know, I'm up here trying to, like, oh, look at me. Yes, I love you. What do you think about my music? How's my hair? Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to, you know, show my value on the outside to people. And it's just like, nah, like, you don't get this music. You don't get these vocals. Mm-hmm. And if I mess up, you know, players mess up. It don't matter.
I feel like it should be so much easier for artists nowadays. We were just having a conversation before you walked in the room about how nowadays people only go off their feelings. They can mm-hmm. listen to every word that can come out of your mouth, but all they're thinking about is how those things make you feel. And music gives you a feeling. Mm-hmm. So as long as music feels good, it feels like they should already have an instant connection with you anyway. Like, oh, that's the person that wrote that song, so she makes me feel good.
I can agree with yeah. that. On a deeper level, I would say it's like frequency.
Yep.
It's like when you put that intention into the song when you are recording, it resonates. Like, you know, when somebody tells you, oh, you look so beautiful, like, that hits you.
Yeah.
And it makes you smile, makes you feel good. And as soon as somebody be like, what's this outfit doing? I don't like that. It's ugly. That
yeah.
hurts.
Yeah.
You know, or when somebody says, I love you versus, I mean, I can't stand you. Like, it hits you differently. Mm-hmm. And that same thing is happening when you're recording and you can actually see the WAV file. It's the same thing. But it's just, you know, music and whatever you're saying. So you have to put that intention into it of, like, what do I want this music to accomplish? How do I want it to leave people? How do I want it to resonate? Mm-hmm. After years of doing it, you start thinking about stuff like that. And I think with these, you know, the two songs you mentioned, Made For Me and Hours and Hours, mm-hmm. that is what people are feeling. Mm-hmm. They're feeling my intention of just love and harmony and kindness and connection.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be able to offer that because there's a whole lot of other stuff out here that's not doing that.
Yeah. And I'm talking about everybody. My son sings that song. My mom, me, everybody. 11.
Oh, that's
11,
so cute.
Right? And it was really big and trendy on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does for music now speaks volumes as well. You know, mm-hmm. that's one of the biggest platforms as far as music goes. How did it affect you when Universal removed it from TikTok? Or did it even affect you?
I just want to be clear, you know, streaming is still a developing country. Mm-hmm. You know, they are trying to figure that out. And I don't think that the coin is not doing what it should be doing across the board. Mm-hmm. So let's just be clear about that. I would say that the number one thing for me is, as an artist, you have to know how to present yourself to the people. In other words, market. You have to know how to market yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to know who you are, how you want to be received, perceived, digested, what brands align with you, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff is very, very important. And so when you're trying to figure that out and navigate that, you don't want to sacrifice your visibility just because you don't know exactly what your lane is yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think TikTok offers the ability for you to still be active, be in the field, and figure it out and figure out what your tribe is. So music is obviously the soundtrack to everybody's life. A lot of people are becoming, you know, content creators themselves based off of the music that we have mm-hmm. created and offered them. And it does hurt to not be able to do that for yourself and, you know, promote yourself using yourself and promote your own products. You know, promote yourself, yeah. promote your products, mm-hmm. promote your music. It definitely hurts, but I think that, you know, I just heard recently something that really changed my perspective on it is you don't ever want to be beholden to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't ever want, you know, to feel like without TikTok, I cannot
right.
move
gotcha.
Forward, you know? But it's a wonderful platform. I've met a whole lot of great, cool people on there. Had three actually viral songs on TikTok. It was mm-hmm. Hours and Hours, a little piece of a song called Time Machine.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I had. Yeah,
oh,
yeah. The silly part at the end.
The little Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Girl, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's incredible in itself, just that right yeah. there. I do think, though, people may be getting fatigued with just, like, constantly hearing the song over and over and over. So that would be the only pitfall. But for me, it's been an excellent tool.
As an OG radio veteran, for some reason, they never get tired of hearing the same song over and over and over and over. That is literally the foundation of radio.
Yeah, I think, though, like, sometimes I be questioning, like, is this just my algorithm? Or is it really everywhere like that? Because literally, like, it still shocks me. I'm scrolling through Instagram, or I click on something on the Explore page on Instagram, or I'm scrolling through TikTok, and my song is playing. Yeah. Or, like, I'll watch a video, and I don't even have the volume on, and I'll tap it, and it'll be my music. Mm-hmm. That still is just like, whoa.
Do you have your moments where you get tired of listening to?
No.
Good answer.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
And you're also one of these artists who still understands the power of radio. So even if these artists are getting removed off these social media platforms like TikTok, you kind of got a head start on a lot of them because you get so much radio play.
I mean, terrestrial radio still pays.
Absolutely.
So I need that pub.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, for y'all, cha-ching, for y'all who, you know, don't write your own songs, you might not know what I'm talking about. But when you write your own music and you get it played on the radio, which is hard to do, but once you become a part of that rotation and that family, that's nice.
Ooh, so radio pays more than the streaming service?
Absolutely.
Oh man.
Right. Absolutely.
You better drop them jewels.
Say that again.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, honestly, the real true gem is streaming is important, mm-hmm, and is convenient. But if you go over there to that iTunes store and you buy that $1.29 single, you can buy 20,000 singles, and it will, I mean, these numbers are all over the place, so don't take mm-hmm me, but you can buy a handful of them singles, and it still adds up to more money than 100 million streams.
Wow. Which is crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So go ahead over there and spend that dollar if you can, because that's where it helps artists. That's what pushes the song up the Billboard charts. Mm-hmm. If you paid attention to Hours and Hours and you looked at the points, I had all these streaming, but my sales is what was keeping me, you know, at number 16 on the Hot 100 with no radio airplay and no album and all that kind of stuff. So I be paying attention to all that stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, how was working with JD and Brian Michael Cox?
It was amazing. This was like an honor, like, you know, that time period in music when they just was having that run.
Mariah Carey,
everybody,
Usher,
yeah, everybody, Confessions, like, everybody was wanting to be a part of that. I remember just the energy, you know, B. Cox would Be Without You and mm-hmm Mary J, and like, We Belong Together and all that stuff. It's just like, fam, Jagged Edge, like, mm-hmm, they just got so many classic hits. So to be a part of their story, I just commented that on one of JD's posts. It was like, it's an honor to be a part of your story, man. Like, the most recent part
and
of
he promotes
story.
And JD promotes.
Yeah, no, he definitely be posting. Like anytime we get a new stat or something, I get it in my text and I'm like, okay, I'ma wait him, I'm gonna post this. I go on Instagram, he done posted like, what day? Can I post it? But no, I appreciate, you know, his authenticity and his excitement and their willingness to include me and not just be, you know, little guy me, son me, you know, as sometimes people be doing it.
You had a remix with Usher, too, right?
Yeah, Hours and Hours remix.
Did you ever put it out?
Yeah.
Oh, it came out.
So that was me. You know, a lot of people was like, why did it take so long? I wanted to take Hours and Hours as far as I could on my own merit. Mm-hmm. Like, I did not want to lean on nobody. I didn't want to take no easy way out. I really wanted to just own that for my, like, let me see how far I could go. And after we got the Grammy, I was like, okay, now I can, you know, share. So that was just me being selfish. But I feel like he was very patient. He was persistent. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm telling you, the people need it. They want it. And then, you know, he just did the Super Bowl and had this incredible moment, that was like very representative of our childhood. I mean, at least my childhood in the early 2000s, R&B when it was pop. So it's perfect timing. I think everything happens exactly as it should.
Oh, so you just put it out.
I put it out earlier last year.
Oh, okay.
So Lovers and Friends, whenever that was in Vegas, I put it out like right after that.
That's what I saw him before. I saw the video of him performing it. That's why.
Cinco de Mayo, I think it was.
And then I saw you on Big Boy, and you was like, I'm gonna hold it.
No, I had said the same kind of story. Just like, I just didn't want to, you know, have it be Usher's song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to own this.
Gotcha.
You know, because I don't know if I'm gonna get another one.
But, now you did a country album.
Years ago, yes.
Years ago. So you were early in that. So you know what Beyonce's dealing with trying to get songs played on the country stations, or was it easier for you?
Is she really dealing with it, though?
At all.
She wasn't.
Not
at
all.
Time.
No, she wasn't.
At one time,
no, because, and no. This is no shade. I love Beyonce. Love her down. And I think what she's doing to encourage people to listen outside of color is incredible.
Yeah.
And how she has boosted artists like Tanner Adele and Raina Roberts, Brittany Spencer, Mickey Guyton, Jimmy Allen, Breland. You know, all these people are getting more streams. Willie Jones also is a good friend of mine. Their streams have gone up like 200%, something right. crazy, right? But I will say, when you are in Nashville, attempting to showcase yourself as a country artist, I mean, there's this one guy, Tony Evans Jr. If you don't see him, you think that is an old white man. Like, I mean, he is incredible. But then when you look at him, he's just like this really handsome, buff football player looking dude that plays guitar, black guy. It doesn't match what the traditional image is. And one thing that you realize is as soon as you walk in the door, their opinion of your music changes based on what they see. And so that's only something that you can experience physically and in person.
Yeah.
And I think Beyonce has transcended that to where she has so much notoriety and power and talent, clear talent, that it's hard to hide behind the excuse that this isn't country, bless your heart. The lady is Beyonce. Like, you gonna play it or you're not? And if you're not, there is a reason why you aren't. And it's very clear what that is.
She debuted at number one on the country charts. And she's number one in the country now, overall.
I think that's incredible. Because there's never been a black woman to do that, ever.
Yeah.
But she's
there have
first.
Been many that have tried.
Yeah.
And that's my point. There have been artists. I started in 2018 with country. And when I tell you, I was fatigued very quickly by the, you know, you walk in the room and the forks clink. And everybody's like, who's this brownie up here trying to, you know, and I used to make jokes like anytime I would go to a new co-write is what they call it, or go to somebody's house, I would bring a bottle.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements. along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
A whiskey. And if you know in Tennessee, that's the thing, Tennessee whiskey. And I would make the joke, just go ahead and get it out. I'll be like, yeah, I didn't want to be the only brown thing in your house.
I didn't want to be the only brown something in here.
So I just brought you a little gift. But it is a well-known fact. If you go down there, they don't want you in there. And, you know, they can't hide that anymore. So
I saw Candace Owens say something very interesting. She said that Beyonce is more country than Taylor Swift because Beyonce is from Texas.
Very
and
true.
She's always had that country twang in her voice. Taylor Swift's from Pennsylvania, and she got to make the
Shania
twang.
Shania Twain from Canada. Keith Urban is from Australia. It has nothing to do with territory or even skill or melody or story, lyrical content. It has everything to do with, are you palatable to my eye? You know what I'm saying? You should be back there bringing me something to eat. Not up here singing. And I'm not trying to be rude. That is the experience. Cut and dry. Period.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm from Florida, from the South, grew up on a farm. I know what that feel like and what that look like.
Yeah.
And so I think what she's doing is incredible. Y'all move out the way.
Are you going to go back? Do a couple country records?
Money Long would not be doing country music. She's R&B.
Do you have an alter ego? Like Money Farm or something?
Money Farm. Oh my God.
I am a multifaceted individual, and I have lots of layers to me, and so maybe we might be seeing some of those. Maybe, if I feel like it.
So are you currently writing for people, or are you taking, you know, like, new, like, are you writing any new music for people?
I just finished my album.
I know, that's right.
Yeah, so I've just been focused on She.
And is that the goal, like, from now on, just to focus on She?
I don't know. I think there needs to be a lot of attitude adjustments. And, like, you know, business practices aren't the greatest. And so, you know, once I have exited a cycle of abuse, I don't necessarily want to go back just for, because at the end of the day, you know, it might be profitable and monetarily, but spiritually and energetically, just going in the room with people who are just rude, ungrateful, who going to get amnesia as soon as they, like, oh yeah, you know, I think my split needs to be 75.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that because I have to learn how to be a good steward of my gift and what God gave me. You know, he gave me the key to the vault. I'm not just going to keep opening it and letting anybody come up in there and just, you know, run amok. Yeah. And it's no shade. I work with who wants to work with me.
That's right.
If the energy is right, let's go. And there are people who I absolutely adore, but they have to want that, you know? Cause when I get in my mode, when I'm in that studio, I'm a different beast. If you can't handle, you know, somebody who know what they doing and talk, you know, I'm very, it's no hard feelings. I'll be like, I don't like that. I think we do better. No, I don't like, is that, are you sure that's what you want to say? I don't like this beat. Yeah. If you can't handle that, I can't be in the room with you. Cause because
they have to know who you are too at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Oh no, you disagree with that. Cause you
don't even
care.
That doesn't matter. I think you can tell when somebody's locked in and they know what they doing.
Yeah.
You know, when you pull up in somebody's kitchen and you see them hitting that seasoning, that wrist, you like, oh, this finna be good. Like, they know how to cook.
Yeah.
So I think like, that's just it for me is like, when I'm in the room with you, if I can tell that you closed off or, you know, you in your ego or you ain't leaving no room for God to come in and give us the idea, then I'm just kind of like, all right, now.
Yeah.
What we about to eat at? You know?
Yeah.
I saw you tweet recently. I don't know if you was joking, but you found out you were autistic?
Okay, so that's a little bit, for context. I have dealt with like processing issues my entire life. And you know, as black and brown people, we don't always have the best access or even ability to understand that some of our limitations cannot be helped. Like you need to go and talk to somebody and see somebody about that. So just, you know, coming across literature and connecting with people who also deal with a lot of the same issues that I've been having and understanding what they have put or the name that they have put on it or attached to it. It made me start doing my own research and being like, well, wait a minute. You know, when this happens to me, this also happens. And so there's a little bit of like ADHD, autism on this, like, and then I have lupus as well. So just understanding that that is like a stress-induced inflammation of the body, and maybe I am stressed out because I'm frustrated because I can't process certain things, or like, and I also think there's a other added layer of because I'm so intelligent to other people and I write these songs that they're, and I look a certain way, they're like, ain't no way that you are, because when you think about autism, you have a certain visual that you think about, but there are highly functioning autistic people, and I want to be very careful about what, how I talk about it, because it could be, it's a sensitive topic to a lot of people who may not relate to me or resonate with what I'm saying. I'm still figuring it out. And also, late diagnosis is a lot more difficult to find practitioners who can sit with you and figure that out.
How did you figure it out?
Like I said, just kind of like relating to, not even
Google.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, what I was saying is other people who have gotten their diagnosis and who have been working through it as adults, when they share their stories about how they are affected, how they process information, I was relating to a lot of it, was resonating with me.
Yeah.
So I did my own research and was reading about late stage diagnosis in women, how it presents. So like something that I'm thinking is just me being, you know, having issues with irritation and insomnia, anxiety, those things are actually symptoms of could be ADHD, autism, and things like that. So
you never been clinically diagnosed?
No, I have to find someone who can do that for me and test me. Because right now, because I have lupus and I've been dealing with that since 2014, anytime anything goes wrong with me, they just be like, it's lupus. They just give me steroids, you know? So I have to really like find holistic doctors and get to the root of the issue, because maybe it might not be autism. Maybe it might be something else. But I, in that moment, tweeted my frustration and processing. You know, that's a great example of it. And I actually deleted Twitter off my phone after that because I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Let me just figure out what this is first before you start talking like I know what I'm talking about.
It's not good for your mental health. And I don't think people realize how much unhealed trauma is projected on Twitter and social media every day.
Mm-hmm. Toxic opinions, undeveloped thoughts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But also bringing awareness, you know, what that tweet, you know, it could be so many other men and women thinking that same thing. And the fact that Money Long said it, it's like, oh, snap. And before I can retweet you, be like, oh my God, I'm feeling that way. You done deleted the damn Twitter.
I didn't delete the Twitter. I just deleted it off my phone.
I got you, yeah.
So I don't have access to it. I will not be re-downloading X.
So it's kind of a good and bad because, like, everything, you're not the only one feeling that way.
Well, you know what? I just didn't like the fact that, like, all the positive stuff I post, all the information that I give and disseminate, that's what the blog chose
That's the era we're in, though.
And I'm just like, see, I don't like that. Because if I'm sitting here telling you that stress affects my mental and then you do something to further exacerbate that, you're not my friend. That's right. And I know a lot of these blog people that, you know, it's like, you know what, y'all be calling me over here at the carpet. Y'all be asking me to come do y'all events and stuff. Don't.
You just content. Sadly.
But you know what, you have to.
So don't try to lean on it when you need something from me.
And you know, you have to realize, like, these are not my friends.
Right.
These are people that are associates in this business. Mm-hmm. You're not my friend. And people use the word friend very loosely. Mm-hmm. And then when you say somebody's not your friend, they even take that. Well, I thought, no, just because you know
Money
me,
Long says, don't do that.
Yeah, so I get it.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
No, because, you know, they be having to tell me, like, put a fork, you know, put a cork in it, girl.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, uh-uh, because I seen what you said in the comment.
Yeah.
I'll tell somebody quick. They'd be like, you blocked me. You blocked me on Instagram. Why you blocked me, Money? Well, let me block you on TikTok, too. Appreciate it. Thank you for making yourself known.
Nothing wrong with that, though.
Nothing at all.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
You know, I think that in our community, in our culture, there is a limit to how successful someone can be before it starts to get uncomfortable for the collective because we are not
gay and you and your
Illuminati. They just try to come up with something, some kind of very much something. Okay. I mean, that sounded like you was triggered.
That's not personal.
That's not personal.
They call you gay.
I never said that about Money Long.
Here you go. It's going to be you next. Charlamagne says.
It's already him.
He could be gay. He with the Illuminati. You know. Please.
No, but like somebody said something ridiculous the other day. Like, she got ab etching. What?
Oh my
like,
God.
They just be making up
How
stuff.
How much that cost?
I have no idea.
They said it about you?
Yeah, because I posted this video and you can see like my ab cuts.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think it's like, it gets uncomfortable because they have not seen it, you know, many times. And so they have to be like, all right, now that's enough. That's enough. Mm-hmm. You know, you get that secondhand embarrassment with when somebody is getting too much praise. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, all right, the light has, we see you.
Right.
You know.
It's like, I want you to make it, but don't make it too far. You know
Yeah,
what I'm
because
saying?
It's that edge of, it's just uncomfortable.
And
like,
they can't stand somebody
I don't
confident.
Know. Yeah. I don't know that it's really that. I think it's subconsciously.
They're justifying their own failures.
Well, correct. It just makes you uncomfortable to understand that there is much, much more available.
That's right.
And you way down here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not judging anybody where they're at. Mm-hmm. But when you're used to seeing people being super uber duper successful, you understand that, I can have that. And there's less limitation on your starting point.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, a lot of times that finish line is so far. Mm-hmm. And then if you start pushing it even further with your success, you're like, hold on, stop. Wait, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because that's more work for me. And I think understanding and being able to process that, it helps you to not take it on. Like, not feel, it's not personal. I did say in the beginning it used to hurt my feelings that it used to be mostly black women that I saw doing it, and then, you know, I would say like the feminine, more gay black men was doing it too. It was just like, I hate that outfit, look at her wig, her lace front, like it just is tearing you down. Like, or you know, I've done a few things to enhance my appearance, teeth, you know, all the surgeries, And people will say, you know, oh, she hate herself. She, you know, you need to love your black features. Like, nobody said I didn't. Yeah. I just, you know, I want to get my nails, my hair. What's the difference if I do something that seems a little bit more permanent?
Yeah.
It's white people in the room. Ignore these niggas.
Okay. It's hard. It's hard to ignore when it's a thousand against one, you know. But I have learned to get out the comments and understand, like I said, that when people see you doing well and when people see that you want more for yourself and that you're willing to go to certain lengths, it really makes them uncomfortable, and understanding and having compassion for that position.
They're really justifying their own failures because they have to say to themselves, oh, she did something or he did something, you know, terrible in order to get to where they are. Mm-hmm. So they're literally just doing that to make themselves feel better about why they not where they want.
Money is evil. You in the Illuminati.
That's right.
You know, she had to be humping somebody to get that.
That's right.
You know, by the way, I never had to do that. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I probably would have been working at Target if I had to do that.
Jesus. How would you describe your love life now? Like, you know, after being married before, early on, 26, you know, how would you describe it right now?
I would say I'm more into real, like, deep love on a 360 global energetic. Like, I heard a quote. What was that on the way here? I was listening. It said Tony Robbins said you can't love.
Oh, Tony Gassens.
Was it? If when you really love yourself, you can't hate on nobody else.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at. Is like, I can see the joy and beauty and love in everything.
Yeah.
Not just a romantic relationship. You know, I have a great relationship with my mother and father these days. It's like, you know, I just love. Like, I just want to push that. I feel like we need it. We need it so badly. There's so much nasty stuff happening in the world right now. People have zero compassion. They just, you know, devoid of empathy and, you know, they all step on a dead body. It's just like, I mean, honestly, it's just like, why are you recording these men?
Yeah,
this man taking his last breath.
Yep, you would record somebody dying. I remember you'd be scared of a dead body. You'd be scared to walk down the street and see one, or the thought of death makes you cringe. You know, now people are filming people.
Walk right up to it.
You know,
It's actually scary. It's really scary. It's just like, man, what is happening in the world? So if I can offer some love and, you know, I call everybody baby. Hey, how you doing, baby?
Yeah, like, me too.
You look so beautiful, honey. You know, maybe that's just the Southern in me. I don't know. But I just want to give love. You know, that's what my love life is like. It's for the world.
Mm-hmm. So you basically ain't telling me nothing about you being single or with somebody or nothing.
I'm married.
She married.
Yeah,
I've been married for 9 years.
Oh, so still to the same dude that you got when we were 26?
Yeah.
Well, I know that's right, because I'm sitting here trying to look. We can go hours and hours about talking about this, but I had to realize that you're still married to this man.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice, because I also had another question. Right now, I had to write it down because, you know, I'll be stumbling over my words when stuff gets too long, but you have a line in your song where you mention smell of your perfume, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which has people thinking that the love interest is women.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. I ain't saying that's what I thought, but you know, that's what people think, so I have to ask you. Especially with how you spell the song Hours and Hours. A lot of people can
thought
take
it was hers and hers.
Yeah, you know, but that's not me again. This is somebody else. is that you leaving a little Easter egg that you could be into women romantically, but
I prefer hot dogs. I don't like bologna.
Well, thank you so much, because now I can go back and tell them that they tripping.
But you know, I
said bologna.
Yeah, I don't like bologna.
My bologna has a first name.
What is the first name?
Oscar?
You have a bologna? See, as you go back, what he said.
Uh-uh, baby.
You see, no, you might be trying to tell something.
See? That's what I'm saying, man.
You gotta watch that.
Talking about he gay and a little bit. And he like Oscar.
Okay, bologna.
Okay.
So he's been a little off.
Okay, so now I can go back and tell everybody.
But
stop,
also,
y'all.
You know, eau de parfum, that just means fragrance, scent. Okay. Right. And I think people, if you understand, like me and my friends, we all are scent freaks. Like we go to the perfume shop. I mean, it's a little spot. What was that? Where was that at? Where we went to? It was like with the oil. It was like the Middle Eastern.
Canal Street. You talking about the oil?
No. It was like one of them like little, you know how they have like little
perfume spot?
No, like the city. But it's like nothing but like Arabic people in that part of town.
Like oil testing, but it's a lot of
so it's like a it's like a store. Mm-hmm. When you go in there, it's like incense. They got like the perfumed oil, and you just you take it out the wand and you put it, and it lasts all day. Like it'd be on your clothes 3 days later. So we love fragrance, love. Yeah. And so if you shop perfume like we do, it's everything's unisex these days. But also, if you are into the Word of God, you understand that the Holy Spirit has a perfume, a sweet perfume it talks about. You know, and I just think people like are really one-track minded these days. Yeah. They want me to be a part of the Rainbow Brigade.
Me
so
too.
Yeah,
bad. Like, I love my girls. I love my girls. I love my people. But at the same time, it's like, baby, I know what you got. I don't want none of that.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm just making this music.
And there's nothing wrong with that, yeah.
Let it be. I will say one thing I don't do is use genders in my songs. For the most part, I try to keep it gender neutral, like you, I, it, us, we.
Yeah.
Because it's more mess.
Yeah.
That's complicated.
Digestible. Though. What do you mean?
You don't think that's when you're writing, it's not harder?
Mm-mm.
She's a writer. She does.
I do this.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I do this, Charla.
Because you're talking about your husband and you say... they.
No, you have to make it make sense.
Got you.
Because that suggests that I'm talking about non-binary folk.
Got you.
But I definitely
would
say...
So you use Dave when you wanted to put like him or her?
First person. You.
It's always you.
Got you. Okay.
You give me a superpower. Together, bro, could be ours.
Dope.
Sit me on the counter, you know?
Jesus Christ.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
But no, y'all, I'm not... At this point here today, I am not
she doesn't like
a part of the LGBTQIA plus community. I love y'all down. Mm-hmm. Use my music for however you see fit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no.
I think that people just think because you're so creative and writers can be very strategic and leave little Easter eggs. You know what I mean? So like, you know, your fans could probably some of your fans could probably be looking a little bit too much.
Oh no, it was this one girl on TikTok breaking it down. She talking about a woman.
Yeah.
I'm very entertained. Since you got your degree, you know everything. What's the lot of
right? You got your degree.
You know it's just like people just be making up stuff and saying anything. I love it though. That's the purpose of music, is like it's conversation starter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people want it to be a sapphic love song, Own that. Take it. I love that for me.
I just never heard it referred to as bologna.
It's usually roast beef.
I've heard roast beef.
That's rude. Roast beef?
Yeah. I never heard bologna either.
I never heard bologna. Why is roast beef rude? I'm asking. I don't know.
You know what roast beef look like?
It's tasty.
Oh, my God.
But why bologna, though?
Because it's nice.
Hot dog
and
bologna are made out of the same thing.
Maybe you just say hamburger. Flat. Maybe you just say hamburger. And I'm like, oh, God.
Mm-mm.
No. Yeah.
Maybe fish.
See, all right. Money long.
We are done.
Money long. Let's get into your single. You want to hear Made For You?
This is Made For Me by Money Long.
Thank
coming
you.
Up next. All right here on The Breakfast.
Money Long, we appreciate you for joining us.
Absolutely. Keep doing your thing, Money Long. Absolutely. Congrats
Thank
on
you.
The Grammy. Yes. Everything. You are doing what you're supposed to be doing.
That's Thank right. you. On the way. I got to come back when I bring the album.
Never mind.
What?
Because she said something earlier. Where do you think you are in the game? Like, where, like level? Because I was having a conversation this weekend just about, like, stars, superstars. Like, where do you think you...
I'm on the way. I think I'm on the way to definitely carving my own seat, own lane. Because I'm doing something that a lot of people are not right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it'll be very easy for me to own a space. Obviously the goal is legacy, icon, superstardom. I think there's a certain moment when the lights come on and you start realizing like, she doing something, she's taking it. And I think that is the era that I'm in right now where people see like, I'm not playing. I take this very seriously. I'm here to leave, you know, a trail of magic behind me.
That's right.
And I think I say this to my friends all the time. We gonna look back on these times right now and be like, oh my God, remember when we just thought we was doing it? And now look at us, you know.
Really doing
so it. Absolutely. I definitely see myself on the upward trajectory. I can't call it as far as like, am I a star? Am I a superstar? That's up for y'all to feel. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you feel my energy. You guys interview and be around incredible, great people all the time. So you guys will have that sort of insight to be like, yo, she remind me of when XYZ came mm-hmm. through. I think my job is to just allow God to show himself through me and my work. As long as I keep doing that, he going to take me places where, I mean, it might be a word bigger than superstar. I don't even
word
know.
Up, word up.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely think you're on the forefront of this new renaissance of R&B that's happening. Like you and SZA, her, Summer Walker, Ari Lennox. Like, it's definitely a R&B renaissance that I feel is being led by black women right now.
Yeah, no, we need some more guys. We got Brent Faiyaz. We got Giveon.
I love
Division.
Giveon, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we need that next Usher.
Frank Ocean just came back, too.
He did?
Yeah, he has music on YouTube. Like,
oh, well.
New music on YouTube. So, yeah.
I gotta go check that out.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Do you like Khaled? Oh, Khalid.
Khalid.
I'm sorry.
I feel like Khalid is more like in the pop.
Yeah.
I do. That's just my opinion.
All right. Maybe I need to reevaluate.
No, but like that real, like, you know, like... Yeah. Jodeci, Case.
Oh, yeah, you want that.
You know, ooh. Avant. People be sleeping on Avant.
Yeah, Avant was hard.
Because like, they ain't trying to feel it no more. They, you remember Genuine was, like, we can't get nobody like that no more. They're not scared to be ugly singing. We need
Luther Vandross. Like, we need that.
The value of baloney got to be increased.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. Because people don't value baloney and love like they do. Remember everybody, there was a moment where it's like all of these dudes were singing like rappers. The way rappers talk about women, that's how a lot of the dudes were.
Oh, so baloney is women. Oh, okay.
You said that. You put us on to that.
I was talking about vagina.
Yeah.
Vagina.
See, too old.
Vagina.
All right,
vagina.
Made for me.
Baloney.
Vagina sound like bussy.
Oh, okay. All right. See y'all later, guys.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up. Early in the morning. The Breakfast Club.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.